understand everything about the Vedic cosmology. As I was reading again today, I was thinking, this is almost impossible, trying to relate my limited knowledge to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like an ant trying to understand, you know, the building of the TOVP. What can he understand? He doesn't even see it. He can't see the TOVP. He sees what's in front of him. He moves a grain of sand. He finds a piece of food. This building is invisible to him. It doesn't exist. It's just a phenomena of the landscape. You know, like a blade of grass. This is just a big something. It's nothing. It's inconceivable. So this is this is how we can't understand the universe. From our perspective, it's impossible. But we try, because, you know, we're supposed to be the most evolved species on the planet. And hopefully we've taken that turn to Krishna consciousness. And so we're gradually, our mind is becoming liberated from this material bondage through this chanting of that one aspect of transcendence which we do understand, the chanting of the Maha Mantra. So this is our entryway, and gradually, hopefully, we can bring others into it. And that is the key to get everyone to chant the holy name. So this is Lord Chaitanya's benediction. Then we can expect, but we have to. What is that verse in the Dara Jastamo Bhavo Kama Lobhadiyasche? Cheta Eter. This consciousness has to be purified. Unless one rises up to the mode of goodness, Prabhupada said, at least to the mode of goodness. Otherwise, there can be no knowledge. Knowledge can't take place. It's not possible. So unless that person is at least to that extent free from these sinful activities, then how can he understand anything? So gradually, I remember in my youth, there were certain concepts that were more difficult to grasp. When I was interested in what's called amateur radio. Amateur radio has a lot of technical aspects to it. It involves understanding radio frequency, the various spectrums, kilohertz, megahertz. It involves wave propagation. All these things are somewhat sophisticated. Sending signals, sending sound vibrations through the ether. So we understand that Krishna says that I am the sound vibration present in ether. Shabdake Purusham Drishya. So it's a very subtle science in one sense. But yet somehow or other, man and all sound vibration, we have some, how can you say it? Not control, but understanding, which allows us to manipulate. Because we cannot control it. So it's like when there is solar activity, then wave propagation becomes less. It's very difficult. And conversely, at night, it becomes much easier. At night, we could transmit even with a small 1-2 watt station, 3 watts. We could talk or communicate with others across the globe. We're talking half the way around the world. So this signal, which is being sent out through an antenna, is traveling in the ether halfway around the world and then picked up by another antenna on the same frequency. They have to be on the same frequency. So extrapolating from that knowledge, you can use it to explain to scientists that even though you cannot see this sound, I'm speaking into the microphone here, and it's being heard 10,000 miles away. So how is that managed? What is the vehicle? You do not control this. This is all a natural phenomenon, but we can take advantage of it by understanding. So that is the key. We take advantage of something through understanding. We take advantage of higher knowledge through the higher understanding. So this is our endeavor. And this is giving us some impetus to try to appreciate more how much we don't know, at least me, how much we don't know. I was thinking about this Lok-a-Lok because there's the language here is very critical in understanding. We have Mount Sumeru. And Mount Sumeru is a single mountain. But then we have Lok-a-Lok. It's also a mountain. They call mountain, but actually, the way it's depicted, it's a mountain range. Just like Mount Everest is one mountain in the Himalayas. And the Himalayas is a long chain, and it separates two vast areas of land, the subcontinent of India and then Asia. So this is the same demarcation that we're reading, that between these varshas, there are mountain ranges, not a mountain. Mountains are also there, and they're named. And so this Lok-a-Lok is so tall, it extends up to the pole star. So this is inconceivable. This mountain range, and it surrounds, it's a limitation between the three worlds and the borders beyond. So that means this is ringed. There's a ring that extends like a cylinder all the way up to the pole star, and no light can penetrate outside that universe, this particular one universe. So much knowledge is there to understand, but it doesn't help the puny living entity to become Krishna conscious initially. It's like trying to tell a child what is the nature of an amateur radio station. This is the key set, this is the microphone, this is the amplifier, this is the antenna. What can they understand? It's impossible. And even more than that, how can they understand that simply by speaking here, I am on a frequency, I'm talking 10,000 miles away. But we can try to let them know that by chanting this Maha Mantra, we're penetrating all the coverings of the material universes. And the Supreme Personality of God, He is dancing on our tongue. This reciprocation is there. So this is an instantaneous exchange. Even in amateur radio, when I'm speaking 10,000 miles away, there's a lag. When I speak, I don't get an immediate response. They don't hear me exactly at the same time. Because there's so many considerations with the atmospheric interference, the spinning of the globe. Very sophisticated, very interesting. A side note, when I was in Vrindavan building Srila Prabhupada Samadhi, you know, Prabhupada Samadhi has a big shikar, and the shikars are all empty inside. And then on top we have the kalas, and then we have the flag. On Prabhupada's Samadhi there's a flag, not chakra, because he's a pure devotee. So we have the flag, and on that flag originally there's a chariot of Krishna and Arjuna, just like Hanuman is there, so a servant of Krishna, that is Srila Prabhupada. So I'm building for a long time, and I am interacting with different various local officials. So all the time, those who are associated with so-called law enforcement or military, they're always asking, so you have one shortwave radio? And this is your antenna? And this is not an uncommon thing. They used to think we had one shortwave radio set in Krishna Balaram, and in their kalash, and in the chakra, they said, and they were 100% convinced that we had and we did not. We did not have a shortwave radio and an antenna in the chakra. But they were absolutely convinced. And of course, the second question was, and you're working for the CIA. That was a common understanding. That somehow or other we were gathering information in Vrindavan that must have been critical to national security of India, and we were sending it back somewhere through our shortwave radio located in Krishna Balaram and Srila Prabhupada Samadhi. So it was always good for a laugh. What can you say to them? Say, no, of course not. But still, they want to understand this thing. But if you tell them, but please, my dear sir, just please chant the holy names. Because from that, you will get a much higher understanding. You will have Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitra Midamutamam Pratyaksha Vagamang Dharmyam Susukam Kar. You will understand the most secret knowledge, the highest knowledge, the secret of all secrets, the purest knowledge. And you'll get direct perception of the self by realization. And then there's the perfection of religion. But somehow or other, we have to convince them. And that was always, Prabhupada said, when we're doing street distribution, what a person is coming, we're stopping, we're preaching in places like Port Authority, which is a bus terminal. And tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people are coming daily to go to work. And we would stand there, and you're trying to stop a person who's coming, he's rushing. They call them the rushing commuter. They have a logo in New York, and it's actually copyrighted, the rushing commuter. And there's a person running fast, and he's dressed in suit, tie, hat, and carrying briefcase. And he's like this. And so you're trying to stop this person to give him Prabhupada's book, and you have to stand in front, you have to do something. Oh, my dear son. And of course, everyone knows you can't say where you're going, where you're coming from. Just get the book somehow into his hand. Devotees like Pragosh and Sanjaya, they're very expert. And Prabhupada said, what can your 2 minutes speaking do? And it's a fact. You cannot tell him. What can you tell him? Oh, by the way, would you like to hear about fifth canto Srimad Bhagavatam and the Veda cosmology? Wait, I want to tell you about Mount Sumeru. Wait. No, you have to give him a book, Bhagavad Gita, something that he can gain his basic understanding. So this was a challenge, and hopefully by Prabhupada's grace, we somehow managed to meet. We distributed in New York City, we distributed tens of thousands of books on a regular basis. In a month, we would distribute tens of thousands of reservoirs of pleasure, small pamphlet. Just one booklet, but that one booklet has made so many devotees. Just thin pamphlet. In that pamphlet we used to print right there in Henry Street. We had one press called ISKCON Press. You see it in the old videos, the Hare Krishna people, World of Hare Krishna. You see all the devotees dressed in blue jeans and they're manning the four color offset, and that was located Tiffany Place. If you have some original booklets still, you can see. They had the Brihat Madanga, that was our symbol, before the BBT logo. So Brihat Madanga. And Tibipas, we were printing his reservoirs of pleasure. So many. And so many people came as a result of these small booklets that this temple was filled. And who are these devotees? Devotees like Dravida, in those days, Hari Kesh. You know, innumerable devotees came through the Jaya Dvaita Mahamsa. It's just inconceivable. Gopi Puranadana, and the list goes on and on. All those devotees joined at that time in New York. All by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada giving us very simple instruction, not complicated instructions. Chant Hare Krishna, please distribute my books. Read my books and distribute my books. Not just distribute, read. This is key. We have to read and we have to try to understand to the extent possible. So when I was reading again today, I was thinking about my experience as ham radio operator, how that seemed at the time when I was very young, inconceivable. Old men telling me about wave propagation and skipping and all these things, how to send signals through various layers of the ionosphere, stratosphere, all these things necessary. In a nutshell, it's called propagation. So in a nutshell, that is also our service, propagation of the holy name. So just like there are so many techniques, we have to master all these different techniques. How to speak according to time and circumstances, how to relate to a person in 30 seconds or less. People used to observe Pragosh in the airport, John F. Kennedy Airport. And after he would have a successful quote-unquote sale, they would approach him with job offers to sell in encyclopedias or whatever, because he was a master salesperson. They wanted him. They wanted him to train their salespersons. These are just people coming through the airport observing him, and they were amazed. And we were all young men, you know, 19, 20 years old. But they were amazed at our ability, by Prabhupada's grace, how to get this person who seemingly is unstoppable to stop. And then not just to stop, but to take a book and give a donation. So this was inconceivable to these materialists. So that is the potency from the holy name and faith in spiritual master. And similarly, by this faith, Yasyadevi Parabhaktir Yatavedi, this is our only entry into this level of knowledge. We cannot get it by our mundane mental abilities. It is just not possible. Such a brain like Sadaputta, he was a good friend. He would try to tell me as he was working, because we were I had invited him to shift his headquarters. At that time, we were building a community called New Ramanreti in Alachua, Florida. We had a big farm, but there was nothing there, lots of grass. We wanted to attract devotees, so we gave some facility. So Bhaktivedanta Institute, they came. Then back to Godhead magazine came. And with these institutions come luminaries like Jayadvaita Maharaj and Nagaraj and Yamaraj and Sadaputta. And all of a sudden you've got this wonderful sangha. And people, then other people come. And then we made schools and people come and they put their children there. But the thing is, even with such association, it was always nectar. But then he would call me and he would try to explain to me, and I could tell, he could tell from the look on my face, it's like, how much can I understand? I said, Guru, I love you, but, you know, there's not much I can assist in this regard or give you any feedback. But I can certainly make sure that you have as much Mahaprasadam as you need and that your grass is mowed and all these things. Whatever facility, material I can give, I'm happy to give. And that is our effort. Whatever material facility, whatever I can do. I mean, how could we serve Srila Prabhupada even in our small way? He was such a great person, as it's described here, luminaries. This Lokalok Bhasha, the light from these luminaries is contained. It cannot escape. But the light from the luminaries like Srila Prabhupada was spreading everywhere. He was traveling all over, and there was nothing to contain. He was free and accessible. And he was giving us opportunity to serve him in the most menial way, but through that exchange, we were getting an opportunity that chitte te kuriya akya. Our consciousness was purified. Everything we're saying every day has such meaning that we can beat our head against the mountain of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is so formidable. What can we understand? But if we simply engage in this hearing and chanting of the spiritual master, serving him faithfully, without any adulteration, any speculation, this is the key. Not that we should change anything. The essence must remain the same. Prabhupada said that was his success. So this, I don't want to go on longer. If anyone would like to elaborate further on these purports, please be my guest. Otherwise, Jamadri Prabhu, yes?
I've been preaching to and having this for a long time. And one thing I've learned is you never defend yourself, because whenever they accuse you of, they have 10,000 more people of themselves.
Of course.
So, like when they say, nowadays you know, the fact is they don't know anything, they only know what some person they might do has told them. So their conception of the universe is also on the basis of belief, of faith. They hear, they learn it in school, they learn it from the sciences, but they don't know. They don't know how the universe looks.
Very limited. There's that interesting. I was remembering in the prayer by the personified Vedas, one of the exchanges between Riksha Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami is, how can we understand that which is beyond our material senses? You're speaking, but how is it perceptible? And the response was that the intelligence has the ability to bridge, because intelligence can be spiritual and material. Somehow or other, that is the, there's that, and you know, we know what a bridge is. You get from one side to the other, and it crosses a river. So we have that somehow or other, intelligence acts as a bridge to access that which is beyond our material senses. And then, of course, we know that by the use of analogy, we can extend our perception beyond that which we can perceive with material senses. So it's very, preaching is very scientific. That is the science. That is a great science. Logic and argument, these things are especially, one should represent the spiritual master in the best possible fashion by being able to carry on. Because, I mean, that is also the distinction between Kanishtha and Madhyama and Uttama, that one can be swayed on the Kanishtha platform, one doesn't understand much, and he can easily be swayed by an argument. It's like knocking somebody who's standing on the edge of something, just knock him off. He has no defense. They say something, you're caught, you can't respond. So they do that. The material scientists are trying to catch you. So you have to, like Jhanadweep says, you have to know how to argue to that extent. That they, it's impossible. You, my dear sir, you cannot know everything because your senses are limited. You cannot even see the closest thing with, to your eye, which is your eyelid. So what can you understand? What can you tell us? Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Good question. That the Loka mountains are containing and I suppose distributing. It says controlling to a certain extent, and here it also says distributing. But in the purport, it describes that the Loka mountain has contained. So does that mean it's distributing only within the three worlds? And then outside the three worlds, because there's the effulgence unnecessary to be through any material light. And I'm not saying that that's the answer, but it seems to imply that this is an artificial light within the three worlds, the sun, and that it's distributing there. And we know that the universe, beyond the universe, everything is illuminated by the effulgence of the Lord, and that there is multiple layers which are impenetrable, which surround the material universe. So now, I don't know, do we have any other information that we can lean on? I mean, I don't know. It says contained. Nothing gets out of those walls. And those are that, and it's the boundary of the three worlds, Bor, Bhuvan, and Swa. Yes, Prabhu. Is this in response to Prabhu's question? Are you elaborating? Because
I'm going to ask a question.
Okay.
For years and years, men have been going on the ocean. They've had to use various
instruments
to pinpoint where they are. Well, nowadays, they have GPS systems. And you can be anywhere on the ocean.
A meter.
So the thing is, you have to do something with it. I mean, you can't, you know what I'm saying, you're shooting rockets up into space, you're putting
But the first thing you said was that previously they were able to understand their position using very rudimentary ancient instruments and knowing the position of the sun, the stars, like the pole star, which is fixed, then that...
Unless they were down under, then it was the whole...
No. Well, in any case, the sextant was available to them at that time, and they were able to understand their position. So that was done without the help of so-called elaborate scientific instruments. And that sextant can be used anywhere. It can even be used on the land. But it doesn't establish your exact location in geospatial relationship, which has, I mean, what's, you're saying it has the ability to, so that, what is the, it's a military use, essentially, that was then converted to civilian use. And it wasn't a very, I mean, it wouldn't be popular if you're a so-called terrorist, because that's what it's used for so-called smart navigation, laser-guided, GPS-guided. So these are all instruments of, how can you say, subterranean intelligence. You know, this is not trying to understand the higher nature of man, just another gradual, just another layer of mechanics that is observable. And therefore, at a certain point, like we learn to manipulate radio waves. We don't control them, but we can manipulate them. So in the same way, we can manipulate these things, but they don't really advance our knowledge of the self. It doesn't answer the question of who am I, who is God, and what is my relationship with Him. And that is the oldest question that man is asking. And still, all they're doing is distracting you with their so-called material advancement. They can go, or they say, to some satellite and bring back some dust and rocks, as Prabhupada said. But what does it prove? What does it do? It doesn't advance you. It doesn't stop birth, death, disease, and old age. So how have you solved the problems of life? By your GPS. You'll know where you are when you die. Wait, I was right here, and then I died. What does it do? So, what good does your technology? Can it tell me where's God?
They're not trying to find God, they're just trying to find out where the ship is on the ocean.
So there's no GPS yet. So when it can tell us, when you can show me where's God, then maybe. But yet, Krishna, we are having all information where's God in Goloka Vrindavan. And how everything is situated. And how inconceivably all of us, this is within our heart, in one sense. That's inconceivable. Any other questions, comments, criticisms? Where's the Jamil? Criticisms. Yes, Prabhu.
First canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada writes this, that in previous ages, all this advancement, so-called scientific advancement, was done through yogic powers.
Yes.
They could exactly locate themselves. Actually, there is also a description of how the Sanat Kumaras, they used Ganga to navigate from the higher planetary systems down to Ananta, Anantasesha, and listen to Bhagavatam.
Okay.
So they had exact navigation techniques which are not known to us. And also everything was done by subtle, by the power of mind.
Subtle.
Not by gross, by assembling the five elements, which is what now the scientists are trying to do. So in one part, Prabhupada makes this comment that he actually talks about the uselessness of yoga. He says that previously yoga used to achieve whatever scientists are trying to achieve. And then now scientists are trying to do the same thing by gross methods, not by subtle methods. So once you see these gross achievements, then you get bewildered by it. That's what exactly the point you are making.
Yeah.
And then you think that that's something great. But it actually distracts us from the original path. That is Prabhupada's comment. But just to answer Gitarangri Prabhu's question, that the science was not unknown to us.
Right.
We had flying objects like planes which could be controlled by mind. We had fly-by-mine technology, not fly-by-wire technology. So different things were there. There are vimanas which are explained, and also the positioning of various planetary systems is explained in Panchanga very exactly. So the whole science was there. Now it is lost because it's dangerous to have it in Kali Yuga.
Lost but not lost. Got that, Kiranagri? The information is there, again, but as you said, subtle knowledge is not necessarily available to us in all of its myriad forms. Just like we cannot see radio waves. You know, and this is a gross thing, we cannot see it. But we understand its effects, and we know how to use it. But we cannot see it, just like we cannot see the wind. But we can see its effect on the trees. So we use those analogies to illustrate to the scientists that there are so many things which you perceive with your intelligence by understanding the effect of something. Therefore, you should try to apply your intelligence to that which you cannot understand with your material senses, like God. So we want to get them to that point. Please try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and it can easily be done by chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and then our lives are perfect. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.